Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Facebook is retooling its news feed so that users will see more posts from friends and family members and fewer posts from media and other companies. So what does that mean exactly for your Facebook experience? Is it all baby pictures all the time with no New York Times or WNYC news stories? And why did the social media giant decide to make what seems like a pretty major change at this moment? You've probably been hearing this in the news over the last few days. We haven't had a chance yet to talk about it on this show, but so many people use Facebook, and Facebook, of course, has been such a focal point of the concern over Russian spread fake news in 2016 and going forward, that this could be a really big deal, both for your personal experience on social media and even for our democracy. So let's talk about it with Kurt Wagner, senior editor of social media for Recode. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for doing this. Welcome to WNYC.
Hey, thank you for having me.
First, tell us the basics of this change. Is it, like I said, more babies, less news?
it's a little bit hard to tell right now, but the way that Facebook is characterizing it is they're saying, we want to encourage more people to actually interact with one another. So on Facebook, that means basically leaving comments on posts, getting into discussions with other users. And they've found that that happens more often when you're seeing stuff from friends and family versus seeing stuff from, you know, a publisher or a business that you've chosen to follow. So Facebook's tweaking the algorithm to show you more of the posts from friends and family in the hope that that will spur people to have more discussion on Facebook. So it's not necessarily that you couldn't have those discussions on a post from the New York Times, for example, but just that you're more likely to do it from a friends and family post. So that's what they're going to show you more of.
And listeners, if you've heard about this change that's coming to Facebook, particularly your news feed, and have some questions about what you'll see or thoughts, give us a call for Kurt Wagner, senior editor of social media for Recode, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Why this change and why now?
Well, Facebook, I don't know if you recall, it was about a month ago they came out with kind of what I thought was a very surprising post. They came out and said, hey, we've done some research and we've discovered that simply scrolling through a newsfeed and consuming things without actually interacting with people is bad for your mental health, which is how a lot of people use Facebook. You know, they open the app, they scroll through, they close the app 10 minutes later, and then they do it again, you know, later that day. And so Facebook is kind of framing this as, this is better for the well-being of our users. We think that the way that most people use Facebook isn't that healthy, and we'd like to encourage more discussion so that people are healthier. The other reason that Facebook probably isn't talking about as much is that the company has been under fire for a long time about kind of encouraging what are called filter bubbles. So you simply see all the things that you already want to see and agree with in terms of viewpoints. Maybe they're political or social. And I think the hope is that seeing more stuff from friends and family who probably have a more diverse set of viewpoints than seeing stuff simply from publishers that you like might encourage people to kind of branch outside of that filter bubble and hopefully get a broader perspective of things versus just reinforcing their own beliefs over and over.
That's interesting, because one of the critiques of media bubbles, I think, has been that we tend to associate with like-minded people. And so in the social media space, we would tend to see things that are shared by our like-minded friends who are Facebook friends with. I realize we can't control our relatives necessarily in the same way, but people are sorting their friend groups so much along political and sociocultural lines these days that was seen as reinforcing the ideological bubbles that we live in. That's wrong?
I don't think it's wrong. I think it's perhaps the lesser of two evils. So if you came to Facebook and said, hey, I follow Fox News or I follow, MSNBC, those consistent viewpoints that you're going to see from those two outlets might be even more dramatically one side or the other than saying I'm going to see stuff from my college roommate and also my childhood friend and also that cousin that you mentioned who maybe you don't share a lot of social or political viewpoints with. So I think the thinking, and again, it'll kind of all come out once this change has been around for a while and we get a chance to really see how it impacts people. But I think the thinking is that a collection of friends and family, even though you may pick your friends because they share viewpoints, that would still offer a broader set of perspectives than simply the publishers you choose to follow.
And what about the publishers that people choose to follow? Like, this show has thousands of people who have, quote, liked the Brian Lehrer Show news feed, and news organizations use Facebook a lot in ways like this to spread the word about what they do. Also, we like to try to launch conversation. We post articles on our Facebook feed, even about things that we're not discussing on the show, if we think they're interesting and might start a conversation. And sometimes they're really interesting Facebook conversation threads that we've started that are not even related to what we're doing on the air. So if somebody has liked the Brian Lehrer Show Facebook feed or any other news organization, what would happen under this change?
Yeah, so the fear for most people in the world of media and publishing is that their reach on Facebook is going to be, you know, negatively impacted, right? They're not a friend or family, therefore their stuff is not going to show up as high in the feed. And a lot of publishers do rely on Facebook to drive traffic back to their websites or to their podcasts or whatever it may be. So there's definitely a concern there that this is going to hurt the business of the media world. You mentioned that some of the stuff that you guys post really drives a lot of conversation. And if that's indeed the case, you might actually be in a really good spot, because Facebook has said repeatedly, this is, even though they're saying this is probably going to prioritize friends and family posts, that is not black and white. If a publisher is driving this kind of conversation that they're trying to generate through their posts, a publisher could see broader reach than they did before if they happen to drive a lot of that conversation. The fact is that most publishers don't. So if you're doing that, that's great. Most publishers are afraid and probably likely to see a decrease in the referral traffic, which, as you pointed out, can be a big deal, because a lot of people spend a lot of time and resources building a strategy specifically for Facebook. I mean, Facebook's a massive distributor for them, so they put time and effort into creating stuff that will perform well on Facebook, and now that has changed.
And for Facebook's own bottom line, isn't it true that they make money off companies posting content and ads, and they make more money the longer users stay on the site?
Yeah, I mean, the general belief in the world of Facebook and digital advertising is that they're monetizing our attention, right? So as a user, the longer I stay on Facebook and I continue to scroll, the more time that they have to show me advertisements. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg has come out and said that this change will, in all likelihood, decrease the amount of time spent on Facebook, which is kind of a startling thing to admit when you're a publicly traded advertising business, because if I'm an investor and all of a sudden I hear that people are going to be spending less time on Facebook, to me that signals, okay, that's fewer ads that they're going to see and therefore less revenue for Facebook to make. The counter argument to that is that, well, there's still a lot of demand from advertisers to be on Facebook. Maybe the price of those ads will go up because there's fewer of them to go around, and therefore Facebook will end up being in a good spot, you know, less time but more expensive ads. Most of that we won't know for, you know, probably 3 to 6 months until this change has been implemented. And also we've had enough time for advertisers to adjust and see, you know, does this hurt the business or not? On the surface, it seems like it could.
One more thing before we go to some callers. Is this one of the ways that Facebook is trying to combat the spread of fake news on its platform? Mark Zuckerberg has been under a lot of pressure from Congress to be more responsive than certainly his first response to the revelations that fake news used. Fake news purveyors used Facebook a lot during the 2016 campaign, which was to laugh it off as ridiculous.
From the conversations I've had, this is not directly, at least from Facebook, they're not labeling this as a direct, response to the fake news stuff. I think, as we talked about a little bit earlier, it's more relevant to this filter bubble stuff, which I think you could argue they're very similar. But I think as an outsider, if you sit here and say, okay, what is Facebook doing? Facebook is trying to limit the number of posts that are coming from publishers and pages into someone's newsfeed. And that is primarily where a lot of the fake news comes from. So I think that there's a valid argument to be made that perhaps eliminating fake news, or not eliminating, but certainly diminishing fake news could be a side effect of this. Facebook is coming out and they're saying, no, that's not why we're doing this. I think that there's some validity to that, though.
We're talking with Kurt Wagner, senior editor of social media for Recode, about the changes coming to your Facebook news feed as announced by Facebook the other day. 212-433-WNYC is our phone number, 433-9692. And Sunshine is calling from an often sunny place, Walnut Creek in the Bay Area of California. Hi, Sunshine.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. It's so great to be on.
Thanks for making it. So what are you thinking?
I'm having a hard time with it because I work with a lot of small arts nonprofits, and we use Facebook a lot to interact with our supporters, to keep them up to date with what's going on and try to engage them more. And so I'm worried because, the new algorithm's going to take us out of people's news feeds. And then on top of that, I'm scared that Facebook might end up charging pages and publishers later on to be put back into people's news feeds.
Kurt?
So I'm just wondering, those are my comments. I think he answered my questions earlier, yeah.
Particularly for small nonprofits, though, which is what I think her central concern is, Kurt.
Right. And so anybody that's basically not a individual human, right? Anybody that's an organization, whether it's a publisher or a business, or in this case, a nonprofit, you have, a page, and pages are what's being impacted. So I think there's a realistic chance that your nonprofit could see diminished reach. As you pointed out, your goal is to engage with your audience, right? So perhaps if your nonprofit has a lot of people who choose to comment and get in discussions on the posts that you share, you guys will be okay. But I do think that there's a real concern that groups like yours that are trying to do good in the world are going to be negatively impacted by this. And I think your second point, we hadn't really talked about that notion of, our page is going to ultimately have to come back and pay Facebook to get the kind of reach that they used to get. I think that's a valid concern too for those on the outside. And if you're a publisher, especially who doesn't just rely on reaching people in your community, but actually driving business through Facebook, you might feel pressured to start to promote your stuff more than you used to because you're not getting the same traffic you did. So I think you brought up a good point there that could be another side effect of all this.
Ethan in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ethan.
Hi, Brian. Thanks. It's been a long time since I've called in. But I was just wondering, is it too extreme for us to say that we get rid of the news altogether from Facebook and make it a pure social network? It's pretty impossible to determine what's a valid source unless it comes from a reputable name. And I left the network personally, and it was affiliates, mostly because I felt like I was getting a lot of garbage, a lot of hoaxes, conspiracy theories, and I wasn't being exposed to the conversations that I should be having from people to people because Facebook was sheltering me from people that wouldn't agree with me.
So when you hear this, Ethan, what they're going to do, are you tempted to get back on, or would you wait for that scenario that you just laid out, Facebook completely removing news from news organizations from the news feed?
I would wait for them to go to the distance. I know that some smaller news outlets might be upset by the fact that they don't have the exposure that they would on Facebook, but I just don't feel it's the right place for it. Facebook is filtering at, people don't agree with me and changing. That's admirable change and applaud this new change. That's how it turns out.
Ethan, your phone is breaking up, so I'm going to go. But Kurt, are there a lot of Ethans out there?
I think there are definitely enough Ethans out there that Facebook is actually trying something like this. You probably haven't heard of it if you live in the United States because it's a small test. But I believe there are six countries that they are actually trying two feeds. They're doing one that is solely friends and family and one that is news and businesses. And they're totally separating them as two separate sections of the app. We don't know much about how that test is going yet. The huge concern, similar to what we've talked about with this change from publishers, is that no one is going to want to go to the business and news side of the feed. They're only going to want to stay in the friends and family one. But again, you know, Facebook's argument, if I'm Facebook, is, hey, that's not really my problem, right? My goal is to get people to spend as much time and get as much value here as possible. And if that means to separate the news from the friends, we're going to at least give it a shot. So they're experimenting with that right now, but it's a very small test and we don't really know the results of it just yet.
I have the list here of countries where they're trying that out, and it's Slovakia, Sri Lanka, Cambodia, Bolivia, Guatemala, and Serbia. Interesting collection. I don't know what ties all of those together or what version of random that is, but you've probably seen that critics of the test, the way it seems to be going there, say that it's having the unintended effect of actually amplifying the fake stuff, rumors, urban legends, purposeful fake news, because they say people don't tend to share regular news stories with facts, and that in a lot of those countries, people do go to Facebook to get their news. So the impact by reducing the flow of actual news organizations to your news feed is more prominent positioning of fake news, because that actually more tends to be shared by friends and family proportionately than the real stuff.
Well, I mean, I'm biased because I'm a member of the media, right? And we take our job as journalists very seriously, and I very much appreciate the work that kind of these big media companies and journalists are doing right now. And so for me, if you said, hey, you know, you can sift through and get your news directly from the source, directly from, you know, in my case, maybe the New York Times or Recode or the Washington Post or whatever it may be, or you can get whatever articles your aunts and uncles and cousins and your, you know, childhood neighborhood friends choose to share, I'm going to lead toward the journalism organizations. But I know that there's been a lot of distrust and a lot of people who have lost faith in those groups. But I do think that when you rely on just friends and family to share the articles that you need to see, you're probably not going to see everything you should be.
Allison in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Allison.
Hi. I'm an artist, and I had a couple of quick points. One was that when I started using Facebook, there were no business pages, so I already have a bunch of people who are friends on my page, on my personal page, who I don't personally know. And then once business pages appeared, I tried to get people to actually follow me there. But this is just going to make me accept all the friend requests that, you know, again, of people that I no longer know, in the hope that they will see my posts in their feed. And the second quick point is, how does this affect Facebook groups? Because I have a couple of those as well.
Kurt?
I think Facebook groups are going to be primarily safe, because a lot of that material that happens in the group is not necessarily – if you belong to the group, it'll show up in – high in your newsfeed, because assuming that you're participating and you actively join the group, you want to see the conversations happening there. But you know, Facebook doesn't put random groups into your feed the way that it might put a random news article into your feed. So I think you're going to be okay with groups. And to your first point, I mean, this blending of your personal page with now perhaps your business or your art, I think that's going to be a very popular approach to people who feel that, you know, a formal page for themselves isn't necessarily going to get the reach they want. So they're going to say, well, I'm just going to take my personal Facebook page and use that as my kind of portal into my business. You know, it stinks because you can't necessarily separate work from pleasure in the way perhaps you used to. But I think there's a lot of people that will probably take that approach.
Mike in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Brian. My point was just that Facebook was already not the best way of consuming news. I think we've covered that. But the level of control I've had as a user over what news I see has been pretty bad to begin with, and it sounds like it's not going to be really improved that much with this change. So I think this is actually pointing out the need for new platforms, sort of like Google News, but competing with it and trying new ways of connecting people with news to emerge and compete in the space. Because, you know, I think we as an audience are more savvy. We know how to use modern SaaS applications and filter for the sources we want, the topics we want. So I just think there's going to be this hopefully will spur the launch of more platforms like Google News for connecting with news.
That's interesting. Kurt, I think if we were to go back, I don't know, maybe 10 years, you would see Facebook and Google competing with each other as Google was trying to make search the central organizing principle of how people use the web, and Facebook was trying to make share the central organizing principle. But then they both started to get into the other game as well. So now there are Google-related community things and all this news stuff that we're talking about that may now be downgraded on Facebook. How much is that the right way to look at it and look at this in terms of the eternal competition between these two behemoths?
Well, I think what, especially with Facebook, what we've just seen is this slow expansion into basically every aspect of a person's internet life, right? So as you pointed out, what started as kind of a way to connect with your friends and perhaps share your thoughts or the occasional news article with people that you cared about has slowly morphed into a full-blown, you know, news distribution place. There's you can sell physical objects on Facebook to people in your area. Facebook's getting into safety and security things. Hey, I marked myself safe in this earthquake that happened in this city that I live in. Yeah. So I think what we've seen is the business model relies on attention, as we pointed out, right? Facebook can make money when I'm paying attention to Facebook. And so what they've done is say, well, this whole notion of you connecting with your friends and sharing the occasional article, that's great, but that only takes up a certain amount of your day. If we want to hold your attention throughout the rest of the day, we need to provide all of these other services that you're otherwise going to find at other businesses elsewhere on the web. And so I think with Google, it's the same thing. Google is an advertising-driven business. They make money the more time you spend on Google. And so we've just simply seen these conglomerates kind of get bigger and bigger and bigger, trying to give you a little bit of everything in one stop, versus simply specializing and saying, this is what we're known for and this is what we're going to do really, really well.
And last thing, that caller also raised the prospect of Facebook maybe needing competition, he said, from new Google-type things, mm-hmm. but by implication from new social media-type things. Is Facebook, in effect, a monopoly that needs to be treated that way by government?
I think that Facebook sucks up all of the oxygen in any room when it comes to social media. I think there are opportunities for people to get news elsewhere. I mean, Apple News, for example, Google News was mentioned. There's even other apps like Flipboard that are still kind of holding on, and people will go there to consume their news. But I think when it simply comes to the social element, the actual connecting of you to your friend or your cousin or your coworker, Facebook has such a dominant hold on that part of the business, and they are at such scale now. I know there are more than 2 billion active users on Facebook around the world. It basically makes it impossible for a smaller company to come in and try and get into that same business. So I don't know if that means that Facebook needs to be regulated any differently, because I don't know the value of the friend-to-friend connections part of their business versus the news distribution part of their business, because they're intertwined right now. But it's definitely – I don't think it is ridiculous to say that Facebook has a monopoly on the social networking space right now.
It is, at this point, sort of a utility, almost like, you know, your power company or whatever, that people, in order to do certain things, feel they have to be on. All right, we will leave it there. And now you know a little bit more about the changes to come to your news feed with Kurt Wagner, the senior editor of social media for Recode. Kurt, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.